First Samuel chapter 2, verse 2 to 10. If you are there and you are blessed, amen.
Amen.
All right. Now you are saying this to the Lord. You are praising the Lord this morning with these words. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you. Nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes rich and rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He leads the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. He set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise this morning. Lord, we utter these words in appreciation of who you are and who you are to us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. This morning again, Lord, we have come and our hearts are open. We have asked you, and we know you have granted us understanding. You have granted us insight. You have a special word for each one of us that will be spoken throughout today's meeting. Lord, our hearts are open to receive it, and we say thank you for it. And in agreement with that, we declare as follows. That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. Please take your seats. All right, the Lord is good. All right, can we just open our Bibles again to start today's teaching to the book of Genesis? We're going to begin again from the book of Genesis chapter... Where did we start last time? Two, thank you. Let's read Genesis chapter 2 briefly. From verse 8. It said, the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Please go down to verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Then we'll go down to verse 3, the chapter 3. Verse 1, then the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. As a result, what did they do? They sewed fig trees together and made themselves loin coverings. In verse 8, we read that God came and began to ask them, where are you? And stuff like that. Again, we see the Lord says, saying something. In verse 22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. Let me stop reading verse 23 there. Now, I wanted this to be brief, but then it's taking longer. We have to explain it fully. Please let me start again by explaining something. This life is more than you can see. Do you get my point? It is. The danger we are facing now is that people who don't understand, they keep, with good intentions, they keep teaching us that it is all, everything about it is material. Everything about it is molecules and the way you eat, whether you exercise or these physical things that happen. The life of the Christian is a life of faith. What did I say? Say, let me hear it clearly. What is a life of faith? Let's go over that again. It is spiritual life. Now, when we say spiritual now, I think I need to explain that. When we say spiritual now, we don't mean, in fact, I'm going to do a series, I don't know what we'll do here, but for radio, we definitely will do it. True spirituality revealed. We don't mean that when you're walking on the road, yeah. Okay, I sat on a plane once. Not in Nigeria. And the woman beside me actually stylishly videoed her. I hope somebody didn't catch me, sha. She crossed her legs on her seat as they were taking off. This is how her hand was. She obviously was a Buddhist of some sort. You understand? Uh-huh. That's her own way of connecting. Maybe, you know, there's one man of God ahead once. He said when he's flying, that he can feel prayer is easier, that it's above the clouds. I said, okay, stop this thing. Stop this thing now. Stop this thing. I mean, I love your messages. I respect you, but please. The reason why it's clearer is because everywhere is quiet. Nobody's disturbing you. Your phone is off. It's not because you are above the demons. The demons are not in the physical realm. These things are spiritual. All right? So when we say we're living a spiritual life, that's not what we mean. Like Bishop Oedipo said, and I mean, I've not found a better quote than that. He says, spirituality is scripturality. Spirituality is scripturality. Paul said, I could not address you as spiritual, but as carnal. Why? There are still divisions amongst you. A spiritual person does not have the kind of problem some people have. For example, a spiritual person does not judge by what his eyes see, does not judge by what his ears hear. That's what it means to be spiritual. It doesn't mean you are going like this. It judges by what the word of God says. When Paul was talking about spiritual there, he said the carnal, well, old English, all right? But some said the literal Greek is psychikos, that is, I mean, I use my own words now. The person whose parameters for judgment, you know, understanding about life, is just based on what the fellow sees and hears. Paul said, that's a babe in Christ. It's an infant.
that the spiritual one is a mature person who looks beyond just what the eyes see, what the ears hear, but understands,
do you get,
that life, there's more to life. So how do I connect with that which is beyond the physical? Is by what the word of God says.
Do you get my point?
That is, let me explain.
Please let me drop this quickly.
The spiritual realm has different, it's a very complicated realm. It's more complicated than this physical realm. It's thoroughly complicated. It's a place where you must have a guide. Now, if you know those who have do dabble into the things of the spirit, let's just say that spiritual realm, they talk about guides quite all right. All right, but I'm not taking their words from them. It's very complicated. If Jesus had left John to go around by himself, he would have gotten thoroughly confused. He had to show him certain things, had somebody lead him. Is that okay? So when you see anybody sit down in a corner, put chalk, slaughter chicken, slaughter goat, and all of that, some of them actually, who know, they enter into the realm of the spirit. And I can prove it from scriptures. Balaam. Balaam was not a prophet, he was a sorcerer. And God used to talk to him. Do you get what I'm saying? This is where I'm going. If you enter into that place, you'll be thoroughly confused. So if you're a believer, you don't bother. You put your hand in his and he guides you. So you only judge by what he says. You only interpret by what he explains. Those prophets, they wish to say, do you understand? He said, no, I don't understand what I'm saying. He said, okay, now this is what he means. Somebody has to explain it to you. It's all those guys in bush, babalawos and all of that. Nobody's explaining anything to them. They get you thoroughly confused. You see all those prophets that come and be saying things about your past. Nobody's explaining things to them. They get thoroughly confused. That is the reason why. Listen to this carefully. This is the reason why they can tell you things that are true, but they don't know the significance. Do you get what I'm saying? They can tell you things that look like fact. They do not understand the significance. I'll give an explanation in science. Maybe you go to a laboratory, all right? And some of us do that, which is a very terrible thing. You say, I'm having this. Let me go to the lab. You're not supposed to do that. You go and see a doctor. You know why? If you go to the laboratory and say, lab person, please, let me give an example. I want to culture something in my throat. What's in my throat? And the person takes a swab, which is right. You open your mouth, it touches it, and puts it on the culture medium. 100% of the times, it will grow not just one bacterium. It can grow like 5, 6 different types. And they will write the report for you. And the person is correct. There's only one problem. What does the presence of each mean? The doctor interprets it. Now, I want to say the joking manner now. In light of your height, your weight, what you ate yesterday, what you have been eating, the complaints you have, he puts all the things together and says, wah, 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 no significance. Go home. Go and brush your teeth. You're fine. A person that doesn't understand will say, bacteria, antibiotics. Then you take a full course of antibiotics, you are back to where you started. You know why? Because there's what we call normal flora. Your mouth is supposed to have bacteria. If it doesn't have, you're dead. Some people even make a fast bin out of it. They will grow from your skin. This skin, your body has more bacteria than human cells. Did you hear what I said? If I counted the bacteria on your body, including the ones in your gut, and I counted the cells in your body, the bacteria are more in number. Some people have even joked, say, are we human or bacteria? Because we don't know who's controlling. Someone that said it will shock you also. Do you know whether you add weight or you don't? It's been found out to be determined largely by the kind of bacteria in your gut. Can you see how physical life is complicated? That's why I keep on telling you. Those who sell agbo to you on the roadside, they don't understand anything. They don't. They don't understand anything. Now, that is physical life. If you get to the realm of the spirit, it is more complicated. So you enter, they say, in your past, your great-grandfather used to be an Ogbanje spirit. It's the same thing like saying that you tested my skin and I have bacteria on my skin. What is the significance? As we're coming this woman, this morning, one woman wearing white greeted you on the road. Thank you, sir. And it is true. So, you will now go and bring a goat. That is what the man eats. Do you get what I'm saying? The man eats meat. He needs a goat. Now, he has told you many things that are correct. But what is the significance? Just like I told you, you left the laboratory now. They've given you the result of your test. I always tell people, please, take the test. Go to a doctor friend of yours or a clinic and say, I ran this test. What does it mean? Don't enter a pharmacy next. You've jumped a critical person in the chain. Because interpreting your results seriously is a skill. That test you will do, you will look at it, and bacteria. And then they say, man, come on, there's no problem with you. But there are times you will see, go on this other one. Then another one tells him the level of immunity. And he says, for that reason, this particular one is risky. But we cannot treat it with antibiotics. This is how we are going to handle it. Can you see what I'm saying? Physical life. And the spiritual is more complicated. So those of you who are following, now, I know people listening to me, nobody like that's here, I hope, because human beings can be strange. I hope. Don't be impressed with those who start telling you, you know, like that girl in Book of Acts that Paul cast the demon out of. Don't be impressed. She used to make her masters great gain because she had a divination spirit. What do the diviners do? They just see things, they don't understand the significance. I see you clouds running around you in the realm of the spirit. Yeah, they did. Not a lie. So we're going to remove the cloud. No, that's the cloud of your protection. That's what God is using in your life to ward off evil spirits and scare them, like he did with Job. But he not knowing, he says, it must go. Do you follow my point? That is why we, believers, we follow only one person. His name is Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? And we interpret life with his words, by his words. So the Bible tells us, by faith we understand. Without faith, we don't understand though. For example, you come and say, I see. Your mother's name is so and so. I say, that is true. That's my maiden name. In fact, it's a name my mother said they called her when she was young. Nobody knows. So it means he has power. Prophet suddenly. And then, when your mother was married to your father, they had their ceremony here. Ah! Prophesy, Papa. Prophesy. Yes, it's true. My mother told me that this. And they covenanted their first daughter. Even before you were born. Oh God, my papa. So you're looking, eh? This man really is saying things. So it's a soul. It's what does it mean? It means that the moment you marry, and then you know you don't. Of course, he has told you things that nobody knows apart from you and your mother. So you are impressed. Now, I jump one step. You're a believer. You're in Christ Jesus. So what you are going to do now, we are going to break that covenant that they made. He has lied. Whatever covenant they made, even if it was true. Now, first, a lot of what he's telling you is not true. He has told you a lot of truths and mixed with a lot of lies. They didn't covenant nothing. Your mother didn't tell you that one. You didn't notice that because it did not happen, but you believe because the other things happened.
Yes.
But let's not assume they did. So you're now coming to a covenant. If you understand by faith, you will have said to him, excuse me, sir. When I gave my life to Christ, I lost myself. The old man passed away. Everything became new. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. So what new covenant do you want me to enter? You know what? You will get confused. But when you two do not know, I know I see Christians enter covenants every day. And I'm wondering. Let me tell you, believers, the only covenant you can enter is repentance to go into the original covenant. Did you hear what I said? No, you didn't get it well. If you get up and I say, I want to make a covenant with God, you're lying. Stop talking. You made one 5 years ago, is a lie. He goes, listen to this. He goes, this girl has come again, this small picking. Look, this boy, after playing football, his body is now hot. He starts having ideas. I am not accepting any covenant. You know what they call a covenant? It's an agreement sealed with blood for your rest of your life. You know what God says? You can't enter in. You know why? You have already entered one. And the life is no longer your own. The life is his own. So there is nothing like, I want to make an agreement. No, think about this for a moment. You know what they call slaves? You know what they call slaves? We don't have much, we don't have them around here, at least not in our own society these days. But imagine a slave knocking the door of the master. Says, Master, I want to make an agreement with you. You know, the slave will be looking like, the master will look like, go on. I'm going to walk between now and this time, and then you will do this and you will do that. It's an agreement. If it's those days, you will sell the slave tomorrow. That I think your head is no longer in the right place. You don't know your position in this life. What does the slave do? Anything the master says. There's no agreement. The day he bought you, you became his own. So you don't go to him to make agreements. Oh, let me drop slaves. There's something that's even more practical. Children, Victory comes into my room. Daddy, I want to talk to you. I said, I want to make an agreement with you. If I don't throw him from upstairs, you know, you wonder the calm spirit that God gave his father. Agreement with me on what? You know, every morning I'm going to wake up early, wash your car, shine your shoes, iron your clothes, make sure everything is ready. Mm-hmm. Then, like I'm waiting for, so what will not happen? You will let me, next holiday, I would like to travel to America to go and see my cousins. I'll just say, wait, we'll talk later. Now go outside, wash the car, come in, shine the shoes, iron the clothes, and then we'll talk later. Then after 1 year of washing the car, iron the clothes, shining the shoes, say, what were you talking about? He said, you go to America to go and see. I said, you are not serious. My son, go to school. Why? He's my son. And right now, Victor, I know you don't, this may sound very crude. He belongs to me. Yeah, it's not my fault. It's God that sent it. Say, Banky, this one is your own. Take care of him. That is why, whether he washes the clothes, irons them, shines the shoe, clean the car, or not, he'll just knock and say, they said we should pay 25,000 naira in school. Do you get what I'm saying? That you have to finish my registration. There's no calculation done on how many shoes he has shined. There's no calculation done on how many clothes he washed. It's like, I'm your responsibility. There's a courtesy of thank you, daddy. But there's no real deep, you did me a favor. I don't know where my point. He tells his friends, have you collected your clearance letter? Yeah, my daddy will pay in the afternoon. It's not like, hey, he's such a nice man. Oh, he's such a nice man. God will bless him for me. No. The guy is going to do his duty of paying in the afternoon. This is duty. Let him not pay. He won't say it like that, but you know, that's the attitude. And if I don't pay, you call his mother. Daddy, I don't understand. Daddy has not paid this money. And the mother will say, oh, maybe he forgot. Let me call him. I said, oh, and that's the thing. It will not happen that. He did not clean my shoes. Why should I pay his fees? What kind of home is that? Those of you who have been making covenants with God, that's what I'm telling you. Stop that nonsense. You know, I've been telling you. Stop that nonsense. Say, I have covenanted with. How can you? You belong to him. Whatever he commands, you do. And whatever he does not command, he does not want from you. Let me say it to you again. Whatever he commands, what do? You do it. And whatever he doesn't command, he doesn't want it. It's called strange fire. You don't burn it before his altar. He doesn't like it. It's called strange fire. Many people have gone to take ordination to become pastor. God is doing that. If I see you there after 5 years, I will personally injure you. I won't send an angel. This stone is too much work for demons. I will walk in there and injure you. Is that not in the scriptures? Is that in the scriptures? Is that not what he did to Moses? When Korah, Datan, and Abihu were offering strange fires, what did he do to them? These are things that came from the presence of the Lord. When Moses did not do what he was supposed to do, God stopped by the way to kill him. Who killed Uzzah? Who killed Uzzah? God, by himself. By himself. The Bible said the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he struck him and he died. You're not one of the priests. What's your hand doing? Even the priests are not supposed to touch it. They had poles, they'll pass through rings, and they lift it up, put on their shoulders. And you are there to grab it. They've been warning you all this while. The way you do not respect holy things, they have been warning you all this while. Use your zeal. Please, let me not forget what I'm saying. So, the man who is seeing visions for you, he's confused. That's a thoroughly confusing realm. I gave example of physical realm now. And you saw how confusing, just in simple matters of health, how it can be. And I said to you that spiritual realm is even more confusing. So you see a man who doubles, says some things that appear accurate to you. The issue is that, does he understand? I like that Ethiopian eunuch. They asked him, now I'm going to adapt to what he said. Okay, let's first say what he said. Do you understand what you are reading? He said, how can I? Unless somebody explains it to me. Now, I want to adapt it. You tell a man who enters, walk into the realm of the spirit. Do you understand what you are seeing? Just like the prophets. And they say, no. How can I? Finish it for me. Except somebody explains it to me. And that's what I'm telling you. What is spirituality? Spirituality is to hear the understanding. To have to receive the understanding that the Lord gives and use it to build your life. So if you come to me now and say, your grandfather covenanted, all right, all the sons of his sons that will come further in life. To what? Say, they are going to become maybe something or the other. You know what I'm going to interpret? Wow. The blood of Jesus is so powerful, he annulled the covenant. Do you understand it here? My own understanding is this. Oh, the blood of Jesus is so powerful. So that is the kind of covenant he annulled. He won't throw me into trepidation. So a pastor actually did this. He said, they've covenanted. Now, that's why you're having problems. Because your father said, by the time you turn 21, there's going to be a goat that they will give to the shrine. And when you turn 18, you give your life to Christ. So the shrine is still waiting for their goat. I'm not kidding. In a Pentecostal faith teaching church, a pastor said this. This is how you always catch them. This works all the time. Say, so sir, what is the solution? The man said, today you will bring the sacrifice to this altar. I said, are you the shrine only? Are you the shrine? Are you the shrine? Okay, are you now an agent of the shrine? Think about it now. Are you the agent? What commission are you collecting in delivering goods to a God that you supposedly do not serve? You're a pastor. Watch out very soon on our Pastor Banky in 10 and on radio. You hear what I call the error of the prophets. I'm going to discuss it. The error of the prophets. When they start like that, go and check it. Money does not allow prophets to understand. No matter how good a prophet is, start giving him money. As long as he's collecting, it's a matter of time. You see, he won't try to lie. The lie will lie him. Whatever that means in English. That's why prophets, let me tell those who are prophets, be careful who you are hanging around for money. If somebody is not a disciple of the ministry, he's not hearing the word of God and listening to it. In fact, once they say, Pastor, see me, I have something I want to give you. Don't go, never go. I have never in my life responded to it. In fact, I can't remember anybody telling me that. The only person that said we should see him, he wants to give money to the ministry. By the time Thor Reverend finished with him, the guy said, you didn't have to insult me. I'm not kidding about it. He offered to spend big money on Kingdom Word. He just put one condition, which is send somebody to his office. Yinka told him that, how many offices do you think we will go to? Look, if you have money for the ministry, I will send you the ministry bank account. He was very offended. He made an offer. We said, Lai, nobody's coming to your office. I don't care if Dangote, I'm not joking about this. If $10 calls me today, Dangote calls me, I have money for the Kingdom Word. May the Lord put me out of ministry if I take a flight to go and see him. I don't care how rich you are. When it comes to ministry, I'm senior to you. I'm the preacher, you are not. In the secular world, we can talk, can be nice friends. But when it comes to preaching, ministry, no. Because if I do, I'm in trouble. The Lord will say, Banky, now so? I'll not say, Oga, dear Lord, I'm sorry. You know, say, now rich man, no. God will say, what did you just say? Prophets, be very careful. You know what I'm saying? So you will drink a wrong spirit, no matter how good you think you are. I've seen prophets, I've heard of some prophets that they met a big man and took a picture with the big man, said, this is an open door. Open door. You greeted a rich man who does not even lay claim to being a believer. And you bragged about it as an open door. Like somebody said, every trap has an open door. Enter first now. As I would know, that was an open door to blessings or an open door to a trap. Back to what I was saying. So if you came and told me, you saw in the spirit, this was what a covenant to your life over or concerning. You know my interpretation? Because by faith, I understand. I say, so this was what the Lord delivered me from. And I did not know it. Oh. Sia, thank you. Say, no, we'll do something. Like what now? We will now bring a sacrifice. So, I have sacrifice. It's plenty. I will go inside, bring my Bible. Let us praise God together. Bless the Lord, my soul. And forget not his benefits. Is that not sacrifice? It's called the sacrifice of what? Praise. Which is the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks or praise to his name. What other sacrifice? Say, no, you. Do you know, let me tell you something. If you want. Now, listen to me, you know, because, you know, I'm not a preacher. It shall be well. See, if it will not be well, it will not be well. And it will be woe to me. That the Bible says, if I say to the wicked that it shall be well with him. So I will tell you the truth. If you want God to be angry and destroy the works of your hands, go and pay for a goat. Go and pay for a blood sacrifice to add to the one Jesus has done. Oh boy, you go see suffering, you will not understand where it came from. It's called insult. As when my son comes, you know, one of my children says, we're supposed to pay some money in school. How much is it? Okay, let's just say use a small amount of money, just to make it easy. It's supposed to be 20,000 naira. All right. I say, I will transfer the money. I now go to meet the boss. I say, Abe, hold this 1.5 in case my... Do you follow my point? He said, maybe the boss, I say, oh, yeah, we've seen the transfer. I said, I'm not sure it's working. Take this 1.5, add to it. And the boss is going to look at you. Are you okay? If he's a friend, he will call me. Your son is here offering 1.5 to add to the money you paid. Do you follow my point?
Yes, sir.
By bringing that money, you have insulted me, you've insulted the boss, sir, you have insulted our integrity. And it looks like 1.5. It's just money now, but no, you don't understand. You do not believe me. You do not believe the boss, sir. There's so many things you do not believe. So when you start adding a sacrifice to that, now, it's worse than what I've illustrated now. When you start adding the sacrifice to that of Jesus Christ, you are creating problems for yourself. I'm warning all of you, you see, God has tolerated enough for many of us. Please, I hope you are getting my point. I'm still emphasizing something here. What it means to be spiritual. Spiritual does not mean you go around dumbly into spiritual visions and no. There are people who are, let me stay there. I remember my wife had a friend. Poor young woman. No, not my wife, not the poor young woman. It's her friend. That was years ago. Ah, he said, that person is very hot. You know what? He deceived visions. So one day they were doing prayers. She would come and tell my wife, do you know what happened? We saw this, we saw that. Visiting my wife. So finally, my wife came. The prayer meeting is tomorrow. By maybe 1 o'clock, I told my wife, come. My wife said, please, I'm going for that prayer meeting. I said, wait. I said, you know me, yes. At that time, we had been married for like 6 years, or 7. All right? I said, you know, if anything is good for you spiritually, I'll be the first to push you towards it. She said, yes. I said, good. Now I'm asking you, as your husband, don't go. Because I knew such things, good things never come out of them. Mark my words, good things never come out of them. I didn't come out of this one too. At the end of the day, if you are not careful, it's more common with women, but some men now, they have an effeminate spirit that carries them to such places. If you like to go to where they see visions, mark my words, your home will be wrecked if you don't stop. It's a matter of time. It never goes any other way. Mark my words. If you don't stop on time, your home will be wrecked. And I keep on warning those who like to use visions to control people. Be careful. Does God give visions? Of course, He does. But I've just explained to you now that not only God gives visions. God gives visions, and we believe in visions. Please, I believe in spiritual things. I've been guided by dreams. People have comforted me with visions. I've had real visions, credible. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying, be careful. What did I say?
Be careful.
Please, don't go around looking for visions. That is forbidden. If God chooses to give it, we accept it. But when you start going around that you cannot navigate life without one, you will soon get into trouble. The other thing I was saying is that most people who deliberately, New Testament prophets, they don't deliberately have visions. The vision comes to them. They are waiting for their meal, like Peter, and suddenly they enter into a trance. They don't go close their eyes, cross their legs, all right? And then somebody's playing music that will propel them into visions. They don't do it. If you see anybody that promises you a vision, when he sees you, he's false. True prophets know they can't predict when it will happen. The woman of Shunem, she was in distress. She held Elisha. The servant came to pull her away. Elisha said, leave her. She's in anguish of soul, and the Lord has not seen it fit to tell me what the problem is. That's what Elisha said. Elisha said, and the Lord has kept it from me. It was not within his powers to just determine what he will see. Please get it clear. Stop going around looking for who. See, if you don't believe your problem will be solved without a vision, you will soon get a lying vision. You know what I was saying earlier? Very common with women. Men do it these days also, but it's more common with, you know, women. Jumping from one house of prayer to another. Once you hear that they are seeing vision in one, you've gone there again. Your home will soon be wrecked. Please write what I said down so that when it happens, you know I warned you. So that when it happens, you will know I warned you. Now, there are different kinds of prophets too. Please, all of this because I'm trying to explain spirituality. You remember? And that's where I started from. There are different kinds of prophets. Now, using the word loosely now. We're using the word very loosely. There are different kinds of prophets. A lot of prophets we know these days, they are nothing but babalawos that bought a suit. You know what they call Babalawo? Okay, let me use a word that's more appropriate. They are nothing but diviners that bought a suit. You do not have to wear red and black and paint your face with chalk to be a diviner. That one is movies. In real life, diviners can wear nice jackets, well-tailored suits, and they are diviners. There was one that called himself prophet of God, you know? In something, Church of All Nations, something like that. The guy was a diviner. He was nothing but a sorcerer. Now, listen. He did not impress. You know, what pained us was when even pastors could not see it. Now, a lot of pastors, a lot of people who claim to be pastors. Now, see, real pastors miss their way a lot. If you are looking for something apart from delivering the word of God. If you are looking for success in ministry, you will miss your way. If you're looking for a large congregation, you will miss your way. If what impresses you about other ministers is the size of their congregation and the amount of money they have, you will miss your way. That first movie, Prophet Suddenly, that the Willows did, all right? Now, I just want to use their story to give you an illustration. If you look at something at the beginning of that movie, all right? That man, first, he lost his ministry. He couldn't pay rent. That's when he started. So he had to go and get a job and doing other things. Anytime he opens the magazine, you notice, you remember, it was a beautiful, you know, script they wrote. Every time he would open the magazine, you know what he used to see? Fine suits. See suit, man. See private jet. If you check it, you'll show a picture of maybe Pastor A. Adeboye. Always glossy magazines is what he would. Do you not understand? He did not pick a book to say, see, we'll see Revelation. Check it. You know, he didn't. He was like, man, see shoe. No, go and watch the movie again. His own idea is, man, see success in ministry. He now said, what did these people get, we are not get. He was always looking at, now let's use the Bible word, vanity. He never picked to say, man, this is what this man said. This is what this person did. It changed my destiny. No. It was, what do these people have that I don't have? I have to do ministry. Anytime he's saying it, he's looking at glossy pictures, glossy pictures, glossy pictures. Listen, as a pastor, if you make anything your aim, apart from Lord, that which he called me to do, that which he called me to be, that which he ordained me to perform, if anything apart from, and then knowing Christ, if anything beyond that is your aim, you will miss your aim. You will see. Read the book, someone is controlling you. I'm not saying you will want to. The missing will call you and miss you for you. That's the way it works. Spirituality does not mean, that's what I'm trying to emphasize. Please, though, stop going around looking for visions. Stop. Those of you who jump from one prayer house to another, Once somebody's, you hear, one woman is somewhere, they are praying, they pray the whole night and see vision in the morning. And you go there, you will be lost. In fact, you're already lost. That day when my wife told me that this person is like this, I just called her, I said, okay, please. I said, you know, if this thing is good, I'll be the first person to push you there. So this one that people are running life by visions. My wife, do not go. Do not go. It will not help you. It's not helping them. They just don't know. What is true spirituality? That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Because the spiritual world is so complicated, we don't dabble into it anyhow. By faith, we understand. What did I say?
By faith, we understand.
By faith, we understand. We just take the scriptures and with it, understand. Understand what is going on in our lives. Like I said earlier, if somebody were to go into the realm of this, whatever he's dabbling into and looking for, because that's what they do, the spirit of divination. And it says things to me. I will take, first, most of the time I won't listen to you. My friend, get out. Now that's my default position. That's it. I saw that this happened to you. Listen, let me explain something to you. If it was going to happen, it will happen. Now let me tell you how visions work. If something is going to happen to somebody tomorrow, and I saw it today, if God does not specifically give me something to do about it, there's nothing I can do but be prepared that when it's going to happen. He may give me things like, one, pray for him. That's the default thing. Number two, warn him. The way he's going, that is, the vision is a statement of the result of the direction this fellow is following. So except it changes direction, do you get my point?
Yes.
It's going to happen. The only way to stop that from happening is you change your direction. And when I say direction, okay, I'll give an example. Kenneth Hagin said he had a minister's conference, and he prophesied that we'll gather again next year, and there are hundreds of men there. And two of the men here this time will not be here next year. And the moment he said it, he saw who the two people were. I mean, he was a true prophet. He said, two of you here will not be here next year. But he now gave a condition. The moment he said it, he knew who the two people were. So he sent for them that they should see him. And he called one of them, that one that came to see him. What was the issue? You know, I don't know why, you know, I keep on saying, anybody that preaches to you that sin does not have judgment, he's lying. And the Lord revealed to him that this pastor womanizes. There's a married man, he goes after other women. So God reveals it to this prophet and calls and says, you come. You are one of those that will die before next year, and this is the reason. And immediately, that one repented. He stopped. And next year came, he did not die. The following year came, he did not die. Many years after, he was still alive and doing ministry. Because he repented. The second one, they said, that Hagin said you should see him. He said, oh, yeah, okay. His wife reminded him. He said, okay. He never went. And Ken Hagin said, he said he kept on forgetting because he will travel, go for programs, he will come back, there's so much to do. He would say, oh, I'm supposed to see this young man. And the guy was on their campus, I think was a student or one of their workers. Now, he didn't tell us what that one's problem was. He said, finally, and let's make a long story short, he got a call that we need to pray. Why? This guy woke up this morning, shattered my head. He went into unconsciousness. They rushed him to hospital. We need to pray. So he got up, went to the hospital, they began to pray. He said he was praying and he knew that he was just talking nonsense. He said, finally he stopped. He said, Holy Spirit, it looks like you are not with me here. He said, yes, I'm not. He's going to die. Why? You told him to see. Did he come? No. The man, he turned everything to praise worship. They praised God. They left. The young man died. They buried him. His wife came later and told him that it looked like he wanted to die. Because she kept on reminding him. Daddy said, come and see me. He knew what the prophet would say. He wasn't willing to hear it.
Yes.
That same prophet, it was one that said one day he was preaching. And God told him, go to this particular church. He told the Lord, it's not the kind of church. He said, according to him, it is a hoop hula church, this kind of church. Woo, 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 woo. No. He said, I don't preach where people make this kind of noise. So the Lord said, go there. So he went. The pastor told him to come. He went. And that pastor did not come for the meetings that he organized. He was busy supervising church building projects. Let's make a long story short. The Lord revealed to him that why I said you should go is that he's going to die. But if he will listen to you, he will leave. He finished the meeting. The man didn't listen. He said the next place he went, he just told it was an itinerary minister. He said the next church he went to preach, he told that pastor, said, look, that church where I'm coming from, the pastor there will die next Sunday on the pulpit. That one looked at, what kind of weird human being have I gotten here to preach for me? He wasn't used to such things. Said next Sunday, on the pulpit, he will die. Next Sunday, he got up to take announcements. As he was taking the announcement, he slumped and died. The other pastor became afraid. Omo. Do you follow my point? See, that is why I say what I say. Now, it's not, some people misunderstand me. I've seen people misunderstand me. But it's not me. You're speaking, I talk to five people. The one will misunderstand. What about when you're talking to hundreds and maybe thousands who are watching you out there? Of course, some people don't even, the people that make me laugh are the ones that feel I should be corrected. I never answer them. Do you know why? You're not my disciple. I don't have your time. I don't have your time. If you want me to explain myself, it's not hard. Go to last 3 years. Listen to everything I preach over the last 3 years. When you are done, if you still are confused, then I will answer you. Usually, if you really have that patience, you wouldn't be confused as what I said. Yes. Is that okay? Now, when I talk the way I talk, all right? Some people think, it's a powerful man of God. No, there's no powerful. In fact, I've never thought about it as a, listen to me, I don't think of me as a man of God in that context. When I say, look, my friend, get away. It's not because I'm so powerful. No. It's more of, please, don't put anxiety in my life. Okay, if I'm going to die next week, let me have this week to be effective, to preach my messages, to love my wife, love my children, put my house in order. Don't put anxiety in my life. Please, don't. So don't warn me about anything if there's no warning inside. Do you follow my point? If you're a genuine prophet, and you say, thank you. The Lord say you're dying in 5 years' time. And let us assume it's genuine. And I got a letter from God that I'm the one that sent you. You came with your introduction letter. The pin is from heaven. I put in the message opens and I read it. Be honest with you. I will spend the next 5 years. About every morning I will give thanks. That the Lord, you gave me 5 years. I will preach. I will record. In fact, some of you wonder, where did this man get his revelation? I will hand everything over to whoever I'm supposed to hand it over to. That's what I'll spend my time doing. I will not be going looking for solution from one place to the other. I will not. You know, one lady came to see me one day. And, you know, I went to preach somewhere. One of those people I just talked. She took a lot of my time. I look back now and I regret it. I shouldn't have given her that time. Yeah, it was pointless. It was pointless. I realized it was pointless. You know, you keep learning. I can assure you, I've learned over the years. That thing happened more than, we were up to 10 years, if not more, ago. I would not have given her that amount of time. I would have understood what her problem was. Her problem was that she was looking for, according to her, solution. I should have told her there is no solution. And God is not offering you any. Go and look for Christ. If you find him, you may find other things. I promise you nothing. A lot of people are going around looking for solution. And for them, there's no solution. What God is offering is Christ. What God is offering is the knowledge of his word. What God is offering is the knowledge of his will. If you are trying to solve, you know, the generational poverty in the family, God says, see, this is your family. What you call poverty, I'm not removing it. You know, there are times God will say, this thing he has complained about. I'm not going to remove it. Say, why? Because my grace is sufficient for you. Some, you know, faith teachers sometimes, they say things that don't make any sense. Then they can control life. No, God has the finances. He has the finances. You can tell, I'm going to the promised land. I say, come on, Moses, come and sit down. You are not going. He can say to you, Moses, you are not going. You have to pray that God will help you understand that what you can have, what you can't have. I give this illustration all the time, all right? Pastor E. Adeboye, I love him. He's a senior man in ministry. I love him. Bishop David Oyedepo, I love those men. I do, with all my heart. Is that okay? I don't want their ministry. If God said, look, Banky, ask for any kind of ministry. Those two men I've mentioned, I will not ask for their type. Not because it is bad. But it will not fulfill what I feel God wants me to fulfill. Some of the men I personally admire the most in life did not have that kind of ministry. Because that's a type. They are different types. Do you follow my point? Yes. They are diversities of manifestations. Why am I saying it? Sometimes we go and ask for what God is not planning to give. And somebody tells you that you can sow seed and use methods to get there. I feel like dropping this for young women. Some of you, God said, that big wedding, you won't have it. So if you come and pray about it, I will slap you. Say your wedding is going to be by 8 a.m. in the registry. Your reception is not going to have more than 50 people. I will not give you and your husband more money than that. Get it into your head. I know why he will do it. Many reasons. Most of them I don't know. But one reason I know. He said, because you have made an idol out of it, I won't join you in worshiping idols. You want to be showing that video 20 years from now. My wedding was this. God said, I ain't giving you. See, if you like, no, sow your seed, sow your fruit, sow your neighbor's fruit, sow your harvest, plant it. Look, I will not give you. And if you will not listen easily, I will let somebody even wreck you further. Because you will go to a pastor. You know what he will do? He will tell you how to get it. The little money I gave you for that little wedding, you will sow it to him as a seed. Then the one I wanted to give you before, you still won't have that one. You will now do wedding that all they will serve is garden egg. And pure water. Sachet water like everybody take. And you will do it, you know why? Because I will put a spirit inside your husband to be. He will swear by Almighty God in your presence that if by next weekend we are not married, I'm going to Angola and I won't come back. You will look up and down. Say, but only but we don't have money now. Say, that is the idea. I say, I want to marry you. I must say, I want to marry money. You will follow this guy to church. After that, they will cancel his Angolan visa. He said, but you don't want to go to Angola. That was my plan. Look, I know what I'm telling you. Don't just assume that if you sow the seed, God will answer it. There are things he has determined he will not do. And I feel like telling somebody, you have been believing God. Your husband-to-be, he wants to marry this year. Because the guy don't tire. He said, look, I need to move on with my life. And you're saying, no, next year is better. And you are lying. You know, sometimes when people want to make decisions, or they are telling lies. They say, no. You have been telling the guy, no, you know, my uncle is very important to us. So the man said he will not come to Nigeria this year. His next year will be able to come. Oh, girl, you are lying. The real reason why you want to postpone this wedding is that you know the money will not be enough to make it lavish. And thus says the Lord, you will never have a lavish wedding. So swallow it now. Drink it. Drink it. It's called vanity. You don't know. Vanity. It may sound funny, but there are women who are rejecting sound marriage proposals because the guy cannot afford the wedding of their dream. I said, one day I went to preach. I was just joking. I was teaching sound doctrine, but I now made something like a joke, which is not a lie. You know, when I met my wife then, when I asked her to marry me, you know what they call GL? Yeah, GL, all right? Yeah. a ring. They're nice. They look like gold. They last quite some time and all of that. So we went to buy one. And it was 300 naira. Yes, 300 naira of that time. It's not 300 naira of today. But it's still like 3,000, 5,000, 4,000 naira of today. Is it more than that? Okay, let's just... But it was not that expensive. That's the point I'm making. Now, you see the issue. So that's what I went... In fact, she collected it and wore it long after we had gotten married. I threw this thing away now because we had bought better ones for the wedding and all that. That's not the gist. The gist of it, I went to preach in one church in Agbani Roadside. And I was in church that day. I was preaching. So I was not telling there are a lot of young people there, even though it was a big church, everybody was both young and old. But there was a lot of young people there. People that should be getting married, that kind of age. And I said something like, the engagement I gave my wife was a 300 naira GL ring. The whole church erupted with laughter, you know, we're laughing. Then I believe it was the Lord, just turned my eye, turned towards the back. I saw one girl, she turned to her friends. I won't take it. The girl told her friend, I won't take it. You know, I look back now and I felt sorry for her. Right there, I said, oh, you wouldn't take it? Let me tell you other things you will not take. You won't take a faithful man who knows no other woman but his wife. You won't take a man who can walk into her husband's bank and say, please. And my wife used to do it. Walk into GT Bank those days. Say, please, what's my husband's balance? They knew also where they would give it to her. Because we know we had friends there. They knew us. Please, I want to check my husband's account balance. Just toss the paper and they will give it to her. There was no fight, you know. It was like banking privacy. No. It's Mrs. Banky. She wants to know what to give it her. You know, it was nothing. The day she did it was like, oh, this will really knew us. Just to somebody, how now? What's the name of that guy? One of those guys in the bank that time. Forgetting the guy's name. Please, just took paper, wrote my account number, please. What's my husband's balance? And that was when, bam, wrote it for her. And didn't think anything of it. And she was not a signatory to that account. I counted it for the woman. I said, that's what you will not take because you can't take a 300 naira ring. I said, by the way, who's offering you, by the way? I said, so who is even offering you now? What are we even talking about here? Who's offering you? I'm going to take it as if I gave it to you. I told her, I said, look, I preached it to her. I said, 300 naira ring, yes. A few years down the line, I woke up one day, I realized that the most expensive jewelry my wife had was given to her by her mother. It was someone that said that thing once, so I remembered it. And it was her birthday. This was nothing less than 15 years ago. Yet I walked, bought two rings for 50,000 naira. I said, take, birthday present. Two rings. Two. Not three. I paid 25,000 for one. She still has one of them till today. The other one, one of my people in my house stole it. One guy came to my house and stole it. Beautiful, pure gold jewelry. I selected two of them. They looked nice. She said, describe that. Look at it. Birthday. I'm telling you, Omena had not been born. We are talking about almost 20 years ago. Yes, about 20 years ago. I bought one ring for 25,000. Check what the price would be today. I told the girl, that's what you will not take. Because you don't have sense. Not to oppose me when I'm talking. When the Holy Spirit is trying to help you, you will start opening your mouth and shutting off the blessing of God towards your life. Some people don't have manners, spiritual manners. No spiritual decorum. And she said to her friend, you know, there are things you will say, God will mark it down, that you will beg me before anybody offers you a piece of grass as ring. The God we are dealing with, I keep on warning people about how he is. They think I'm being a difficult preacher. I said, this one you are doing, I don't take it. God said, don't worry. See, After you have begged and fasted and rolled on the floor and sowed seed and offered sacrifice, you will get brass offered. And you will take with the gladness. In fact, I will make you buy the ring by yourself. You're joking with the God we are dealing with. Be honest with you. Now, I now forgot why I got to that point. But as I was helping somebody, okay, I know, I was just warning some people, persons, you understand, okay, how they make, Yes, that's the thing. Trying to force the, yeah. So that's why I went to that, yes. So I went to that trying to explain to us that there are things that God said I won't give. Sowing your seed and harassing him will not make him give it. And one reason is because he said this is a road you must pass through. He said this road you must pass through it. There's no begging that will make you make me create another road. That road I've given you is the one you must pass through. That's what he said. You must pass through that road. Now we're defining spirituality. That's why we've got stuck here now. So spirituality, we said, is scripturality. Spirituality is knowing the word of God, because the spiritual realm is otherwise too complicated. The spiritual realm is a place where you can be thoroughly confused. So by faith, we understand. So what is faith? It's just listening to what God said. I need to repeat this illustration again. So somebody came to me and showed me what my ancestors were like. Instead of telling me I will need deliverance, therefore, I won't listen to him. Okay, yeah, I was saying something. That I don't pretend to be a powerful man of faith, no. It's just understanding. So if he showed me all those things, that this will happen to you, all right, because I will interpret it with the word of God. My interpretation will not be what that prophet is saying, even if what he saw was true. It will only show me, assuming it's accurate, the magnitude of what God did for me. You say, oh, you mean, you know, there's a book, one of our sisters, this last convention I went for, she brought it for me as a present. It's a little book by Billy Akon. I did not even know that Billy Akon's father was a Babalawo. And he'll be present when his brothers are being initiated. Some of them couldn't go to school because they had to go and become Omawu. You know what they call Omawu? Apprentice Babalawo. Babalawo, thank you. He watched his father do things. He said, so all these fake pastors used to come to his father for juju to grow church. Yes. Where I'm going is that, you know, if it's many of us these days, they will tell me he needed deliverance. The man didn't feel he needed deliverance. What he needed was deliverance from his father's fight. Because he and his father were always fighting. The father said, you will come and worship this Babalawo, this Awo. He said, the father, Awo is dead. Get it? Like, I'm not coming there. I have found, and how did he get to know the Lord? The Lord actually spoke to him directly. He didn't know who was leading him. Enter that church. When they ask people to give their life to Christ, go forward. He didn't know who told him that, but he obeyed. And it's a Billy Akon you know today. He did not need deliverance, brethren. He needed light. He needed inspiration. He needed to know. He read a book like The Normal Christian Life. We have it over here. It's on that shelf over there. I read that book myself many years ago, more than 20, almost 30 years ago, I read the book, Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. That's how he got deliverance. And not even from juju, from sin. Do you get my point? Many of you, all your grandfather did was to consult Babalawo. They say you need deliverance. This one, his father was the Babalawo that was consulted. He did not need deliverance. The only deliverance he said he needed was from sin. And he found it by reading a book, The Normal Christian Life, in which Watchman Nee explained, reckoned your old man to be dead. That was when he realized that, no, I'm not trying to be free from sin. I am dead to sin. And that was how his deliverance came. Hope you're getting my point. So please, I keep on saying, all this one running up and down, looking for who will deliver you. So if somebody told me, look at all of these things, so you come for deliverance, I say, no, you have just told me the gravity of what I was delivered from by being a believer in Christ Jesus. Not what I need deliverance from. And this is the error. Many of so-called prophets, now I was saying that all kinds of prophets, a lot of those prophets, no, they are not, but the ones who are even supposed to be genuine preachers of the word of God, because of lack of understanding, they now tell Christians, you know, if you find out that you were eating your dream, come forward. Just if you were eating your dream, stop eating. That's all. Next time they bring fruit to your dream, say, I'm not eating. And if you are hungry, please eat. Please, why do we people, we pastors sometimes, we do like we don't know book. We be like we don't know anything. And you know the funny part, some people hear me talk. This is because this part doesn't know. I said, I've been saying this thing for how many years? And yet the one that ate in my dream has not injured me. You didn't ask me, okay, why don't you eat in your dream? The one you ate, why didn't he enjoy you? Ask you instead of arguing with me. And all the people you have been delivering, who has ever been delivered? They never get delivered. From eating pounded yam, they are now eating stone. In the same dream, after your prayer. It's true now. And please, I should write a book on how to interpret dreams. So. How to interpret dreams. I've taught a few of them before. If you find them chasing you in your dream, wake up and go and pay all your debts. They will stop. If you are not owing anybody, they won't chase in your dream. I've told you. If they are chasing your dream, wake up and say, no, who did I borrow? Amaka's 50,000 is still with me. Call Amaka. Negotiate. Amaka, I'll pay you 10,000 naira every month for the next 5 months. Please. Amaka will say, thank you. And that spirit chasing you will stop. It was not a spirit. It's when you owe money, there's no peace to the wicked, says the Lord. Why would you be able to sleep? If you find yourself flying in your dream, brethren, claim it. Claim it. It's in the scriptures, I will mount up with wings like an eagle. Hallelujah. I fly above the circumstances. He said, like an eagle. He picks up her cheeks. What are you talking about? I'm going to mount up with wings like an eagle. Hallelujah. I soar above. There's none like the God of Israel. Who does what? Who rises through the... Do you follow my point? So please, when else you fly in your dream, don't panic. He said, Lord, please, I don't want to land. Let me stay here. When you wake up, say, Lord, please, that dream will continue. Let me just go to work. I come back, finish everything, I go back to sleep. We must fly. You must sing, I believe I can fly. You understand? Why are you wanting deliverance? Because you are flying your dream. What if you are swimming? Here you are swimming. It's in the scriptures, the flood can overtake you. Hallelujah. What are you talking about? You know, this whole interpretation is predicated on one thing. I am more than a conqueror because I'm in Christ Jesus. What is spirituality? Let's settle down on that. Spirituality is defining your life by the word of God. Spirituality is that when they bring things out of the realm of the spirit to you. Like I said earlier, you give me a vision, brethren. If it's a bad thing, because you see, a bad thing will not happen except there is a reason. So if God says, look, Banky, an evil thing ahead. My understanding is 99% of the times when it comes to believers, even though they didn't add the warning, you go and look for the warning. How do I know? Jonah, he got to Nineveh. He gave them no conditions. Just declared their destiny to them. 40 days. No. That's what he did. You know what? Jonah was happy that Assyria was going to be destroyed. 40 days hence, Nineveh will be overtaken. Jonah was very happy about it. He did not say, except you repent, you will likewise perish. Nothing. He went and sat down, waiting for the deliverance, for the judgment on Nineveh. The men looked and said, the spirit that came from the belly of the fish, because that's how God gave him power to talk. People saw him vomited on the shore by a fish. And they saw him get up. So when they saw the same man next day preaching in the market, they believed his word and went and sought for deliverance for themselves. That's what I'm trying to explain. They sought for what?
Deliverance.
For themselves. So even though he didn't warn them that, see, this is what you need to do, they decided that, according to them, peradventure, God will show mercy. You know, they did their repentance that even animals repented. I don't know how animals are supposed to repent. Okay, what I mean is this. They said, nobody should eat. Even animals. Starve your dogs. So you got to Nineveh that time. You hear dogs shouting, that's what my dog does when he hasn't eaten. Woo, woo. So you get to Nineveh that time, all the dogs are barking, woo, 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 hunger. Hunger. All the dogs in Nineveh were hungry. And you know what God did? He suspended the judgment. He forgave that generation. So if you see a bad thing being prophesied against you, don't offer an offering. Now let me tell you now. Go back home and go and settle your works. I mean, like, assess your life. If you are dishonest, if they say evil will happen to you, it will happen. Did you hear what I said? If you start, you know, I just feel like saying it. You know, some men chase other people's wives. You will die fast. You know, like, I was thinking it would take like 2 weeks, but I think it's going to be 1 week. You are wicked. Now, let me just give you a word of the prophet, all right? Because, like I told you, I'm not here to rub anybody's back. If you use your wealth to corrupt young girls, God will kill you suddenly in a ghastly manner. Write it down. You know, some people don't like this kind of thing I said. And I keep on wondering, so, why don't you like it? Now, let me tell you what I mean by corrupting young ladies. I'm being honest with you, I'm not bragging. I'm not a rich man by the worldly standard, the standard of the world, all right? But I can buy a young woman a mid-level Samsung phone, and my wife will not know I spent money. Do you hear what I said? My wife will know that money left the house. A girl just called, maybe just called me, daddy, I need phone now. And. Why are you laughing? We watch all these kids. Yeah, imagine this. And I said, okay, go to the mall. When you get there, you pick one particular one. This one I like, it says 600,000. I said, whoa, this girl is just disturbing me. Okay, tell them to send me the account number. Can they take transfer? I wire them the money. Eh? And my wife will not know I spent money. A young woman that the father is struggling to give $50,000 to go, and you do that, and you want her to think. Think about it. If she doesn't go to church, she can't think. It's only those that go to church and they hear the word of God infused regularly. You know, there are some temptations that some of us don't understand. I know a particular politician. I won't mention his name, but you all know him. All right? Don't worry, he's not close by here. But it's a name you know in Nigeria. It's not from our, right? Because I know who you'll be thinking of. He's chasing a woman. He dashes her, at this fact, he dashed her 20,000 pounds. Took half from her fiancé and dumped her that she's not serious. Yes, they were talking about agents of Satan. Those are agents of Satan. Let me just tell young women, because God's judgment I've given you about those people. Young women, don't worry, all right? Don't ever follow people. They are buying you. When I say buying you, they're not buying your body. People think that you're selling your body. No, you're selling your destiny. Some of them, you don't understand. They carry that thing literally. Please listen to what I'm saying. People talk about witchcraft. That is how they do witchcraft. You hear this like that when you hear your quarter on the line, someone will take it and go and do juju. It's a lie. It doesn't work. See, I know spiritual things. You know, say, God gave me this understanding. All right? You can't leave your underwear on the line. And a stranger takes it and puts it in a shrine. You see, it's how they lie to them. It doesn't do anything. You know, girls don't put their own this online anymore, especially hostels and all of that. That somebody come and steal it and go and do juju, it doesn't work. Do they steal it? Yes. Do they carry it there? Yes. But it doesn't work. A lot of those, no, sponsor aside, a lot of those juju men, even they are con men. Yeah, they are con men. They con the people that come to them. They are nothing but con men. In fact, there was one of our brothers was telling us the other day, that one particular guy in their village, yes. That he said that one man came to him, say he's going for, let me just make it, maybe he's going to for interview as director in NNPC. This village boy did not know the meaning of NNPC. Did not know the meaning of director. He didn't know the meaning of interview. Yeah. It's something else. I just changed it so that you, and just to make it. He did not know the meaning. But he didn't know how to tell this man that came from a big place. Somebody told him to come and see him. He was doing local juju. Fake juju. So he told him the upright. He entered the room, brought something. He said, take this. Put it in your pocket when you are going for the... He couldn't pronounce interview. When you are going for... You know the way Ndabo twists words. Uh-huh. He put that thing in that... He told that guy to put in his pocket. And the man should go. So he just used to dismiss the man. He did not know what the man wanted. He didn't know what he was using it for. The man came back months later and dashed him 20 million naira. He was telling his friends. He said, I didn't do anything for him. I didn't even know what he was talking about. I just gave him one piece of... Maybe I just saw one leaf in the room. You put it in your pocket. But that gave that one boldness, confidence. He performed well. They promoted him as was due. He ascribed it to this man. Do you follow my point? So a lot of those people, they are con men. All these people that go and take on the underwear, a lot of them, they are conning them. So you just understand that it is not true. Please, young ladies, go and hang whatever you want to hang. Hang your leggings, hang your brassiere, hang anything you like on the tree itself. Because we have to address these things. We'll be this scaring. And listen, when you're a Christian, you have to be a Christian. I like one day, Pastor came with, he was quoting somebody last time, last Sunday. He said, the Bible said, you shall be what? Witnesses unto me. He did not say you will be advocates unto me. Did you hear that? He did not say you shall be advocates. Some of us like to argue. You want to argue that Jesus is Lord. Jesus said, I didn't send you to argue. I said you shall be what? What does it mean? When everybody is afraid to hang their underwear, hang your own. That's how to be a witness. That's what I'm talking about. Ah, Amaka, what did you just do? This hostel, these Yahoo boys are stealing things. So, this thing don't hold itself. Let them steal it so I can pray for a new one. Tell them, they can't do anything. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in Christ Jesus. When they hear that, when they see that you cannot be moved, that's what it means to be what? A witness. An advocate is the one that's arguing. Jesus is Lord, you go to hellfire. 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 Argument. But your life is not different. My wife and I were discussing yesterday about one family that we know. They can pray. Hey, they can pray. Every day, between 12 and 2 a.m., they are praying. Time for exam, they carry their children to where they can cheat. You don't let these same children sleep because of prayer. But time for exam, you will locate them and have them. My practice is the only way they pass. And you bring the same children for prayer. When those ones grow up, they will be so hardened against the gospel, it will take special intercession to crack their hearts. They asked, one of these American magazines did this survey. They interviewed people who did not follow the faith of their parents. And they said the number one reason why they did not follow the faith of their fathers It was that it was inconsistent. Their fathers are pastors. They are losing. They are living loose. Why? They say what daddy looks like in church is not what he is like at home. That was what 70% of them said. That they couldn't see the consistency. Outside, bless you, sir. Bless you, sir. Oh, wow. That shall not steal. They see daddy stealing. Forgive your neighbor. He holds grudges against our neighbor. That everything he preaches against, he does at home. The children tolerated him until they were big enough to live on their own and they refused to come back home. And Faith, go with church. They saw the whole thing as a show. That people are playing. I'm talking about being witnesses. So a true witness, people of God, when they say that, when they say, don't hang your business, hang your own. Neither fear ye their fears. Is a commandment. Neither fear ye their fears. Now, I'm explaining to you that that one does not work. But does witchcraft work? Yes! And tell all the young women out there, when you see a big man, like I just told you now, offering you what your father working hard cannot afford in a whole year is given in a weekend. Run. He's buying your destiny. What is taken from you is more expensive than what he's giving you. It's business. Nobody is stupid. It's business. Hey, follow me out for a weekend and then you go, and I dash you 1 millionaire. All your school fees, you and your siblings, came to 600,000 naira. 6 months, your father is still paying. And your father is not lazy. Because he has to pay house rent, he has to buy food, he has to do this. And a man gives you, and you not say your father is a slacker. No, be stupid, my girl. Are buying your life. You are selling gold for peanuts because you don't understand the value of things that matter. It's your life we are talking about. It's your life. That's your life. They are selling it. You will fall sick at the age of 25 and nobody will be able to treat you. And they won't know why. You want to know what happened? They literally sacrificed your soul on an altar to remain rich. That's how these things work. It's not the pattern you hang on the line. That's a distraction. They'll be telling that to girls who fornicate and commit adultery and do abortion every day. And they think they are going to be safe. They can't be safe. How can they be safe? They can't be safe. They can't be safe. Small aside. Let's go back to spirituality. Spirituality is not that I see visions. Spirituality is that I take the word of God, I use it to interpret everything in my life. That is spirituality. Spirituality is that I take the word of God and I use it to interpret everything. I keep on going back to this. So if you came and you told me that you dreamt or you had a vision, my grandfather was an ancestral spirit in human flesh. And he held many people in bondage. And so bondage is upon his descendants. I will not join you to pray, brethren. I will not. I will only say, so this is what the Lord delivered me from. Thank you. But you would not know, because the testimony of Jesus actually is the spirit of prophecy. And if you don't understand Christ, you will misinterpret visions. Did you hear what I said? If you don't understand Christ, you will misinterpret visions. Let me say it one more time. If you don't understand who he is, if you don't understand the person of Christ Jesus, if you don't understand the importance of his work on the cross, if you don't understand how he died and rose up again, if you don't understand what it means to have his blood shed for the remission of sins, if you don't understand what John meant when he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world, every vision you will see will be misinterpreted. It is not possible to interpret genuine visions if Christ His spirit, understanding of his person, is not in your heart. If Christ, the person of Christ Jesus, his spirit, his work on the cross, the understanding of these things, if it is not in your heart, it is not possible to interpret visions accurately. The Red Prince in his days used to do a lot of deliverance. He was delivering a woman of his spirit that had a, what they call a familiar spirit, a python spirit. And as he commanded that spirit to come out of that woman, the spirit gave the woman a vision. One of the first weapons of Satan is fear. One of the first weapons, that prime weapons of Satan, is fear. That was what Jezebel used against Elijah, and it worked. Elijah had the faith to take on all those hundreds of prophets of Baal, all by himself. He wasn't afraid. He was confident. God answered by fire. And we saw what happened. He had all of them killed. The mob of Israel came against all the prophets of Baal, and he slaughtered all of them there. Then Jezebel sent a message. Did you hear what I said? Jezebel did what? She sent a message, just a message. That's all Jezebel sent to. Just sent a message. And what happened? He ran. Prophet ran. Let's not talk about Elijah, but that's how powerful fear is. That's why you have to fight fear. A lot of people in this our generation now, in this our nation, sometimes you will see them abandon. You know, this makes me laugh. You see, a man has a good job. His wife has a very good job. They are buying land one after the other. They are building houses. Then somebody will tell them, shh, there's no future for your children. Then they will abandon the job, sell the land, the plots of land, sell the houses, and run somewhere. Run to UK, run to Canada, run to North America, run everywhere, somewhere. Why? Because somebody said to them, Boko Haram is coming. They're coming. They're invading. No. Small aside there. They will tell you how Fulani people are going to take all your villages. You may be laughing. Some people believe it completely and they run away. Because they believe that when their children will be adults, there will be no Enugu anymore. They will now be Sultan of Enugu or Emir of Enugu. Fear. Let me conclude that one quickly. It won't happen. Do you hear what I said? It will not happen. Just know that it will not happen. That we said it will not happen. Is that okay? Uh-huh. It will not happen. It will not happen. Let's just leave it like that. Okay? That's what fear does. Fear will cripple people from obeying God. The prince was casting out. Now, let me now get back to what I was saying. He was casting out demons from this woman. And this demon said, how do I get these things to stop? I don't want to live here. Let me scare the man. Now, he didn't say that. I'm the one interpreting it. The woman suddenly had a vision. Boom! She had a vision. Now, let me tell you another thing about prophets. Lying prophets actually tell the truth. Now, that's confusing. I did that deliberately. What is a lying vision was seen truly by the prophet. Yes. He will see a vision that something happened that will not happen. So he will narrate it to you. If you don't have the spirit of Christ, you will believe something that is not true. Meanwhile, the prophet will swear on the life of his children that what he's saying is true. It doesn't make it not a lie. Do you get my point? Because this woman suddenly had a vision. And she wasn't lying. She said, I have a vision. I see you in a car that was wrecked on a tree. That had an accident. I think he said a red car. Yeah. I see a red car. And maybe the man had the red car. And the car crashed into a tree. And maybe he died inside. I told you, see, a lying prophet doesn't have to tell lies. But his vision can be a lie. Because this man understood spiritual things. I always liked that his story. He answered, and if he knew Derek in his days, he never got excited. Only once did I see him get excited. And that's when he was narrating the experience that Akinola and co had, the Nigerian bishops, when they went for synod in UK and they refused to legalize homosexuality in the church. That's the only time I saw him excited. All the other days, never. He never raises his voice. He talks calmly and all of that. He answered the woman very calmly. He said, that is not the problem. Now, the woman had a vision. In the vision, he was in his car and the car had an accident, and I think he supposedly died inside. He didn't pray about it. He said to her, "That is the devil's plan. I don't walk in the devil's plan." Do you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Very calmly. Like, it doesn't matter. That is the devil's plan. I don't walk in the devil's plan. Oh my God, I wish people would understand. When they say they are plotting against you, you bring an offering right now to break their plot. They are in an altar and you are sleeping. Tonight, it is off altar versus altar. Listen, let me tell you, in my life, it is altar versus my bed. In peace will I lie down and sleep. For the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. It is not altar versus altar. It's you. Bible says there is no peace to the wicked. Why should you rest? You say your enemies are not sleeping. Why are you sleeping? Because it's my enemy. I'm the Lord's friend. Do you get my point? I should sleep. Say, right. And some of you, like, I'm warning all of you. I'm warning you seriously. You will go for meeting, you'll be describing what the enemy is doing. I was there the other day. One girl, you know, she was trying to go to school. She could not go. Then she tried to marry. She did not marry. She tried to do business. She did not do. She tried to walk. She did not walk. She tried to sleep. She did not. Do you know why? Because somewhere in the village, the people are burning candle. Today, you will quench their candle. You are an idiot. I don't have work to do now to be quenching people's candle. What kind of nonsense is that? And you are believing it. You will bring out your water and say, "All the fire against me, die." Brethren, you are jobless. Poverty is disturbing you. Go and get work. When people have vitamin deficient, they start seeing stupid visions. Vitamin B1, B2, B6, they are critical for brain function. I see the congregation. I be praying. So I say, begin to put out the fire. They will not be doing like this. Put out the fire. 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 The fire is out. Amen. It's not out. He'll be back tomorrow. Another guy will say, "Put out the water. Put out the water." You know, you are. Hey, God, oh. My people perish for lack of knowledge. What the devil is doing against me is not my problem. It doesn't. You know, we are not in the same church. Only one brother, I think it's on the other side, he came and told me that, "Pastor Banky, so and so person said this about you." I said, "Go and tell the person that this job we have shared it. He's a prophet. Let him be prophesying. I'm a Bible teacher. Let me be teaching. He doesn't know the Bible." I didn't quarrel. I did not quarrel. They said, "What you are preaching is not good." You know, some people be angry. "How can you say that?" I said, "Look, see, this work has been shared. Share you're a prophet, Abby. You're a prophesy now. As a Bible teacher, let us do it." If Satan is doing things in his house and lighting candle, in my house I have electricity. Do you get my point?
Yes,
if he's lighting candle, that's his problem. You know? Do you get my point?
Yes,
let me tell you one joke I heard from my pastor those days. He said one day, one man, very bad man, he was eating. His wife came and sat opposite him. We use the name Amaka today, right? So if your name is Amaka, it's just the name for today. Tomorrow we are going to use a Wichichi, so don't worry. Sat opposite him, say, "Amaka is pregnant." So the man lifted his eyes from his food. Amaka happens to be his secretary, his worker in the office. He looked at his wife and said, "That's her problem." And he continued eating. The woman, at the point that she was very angry, she said, "You are responsible." The man laid this fork down. He said, "Okay, that's my problem." The woman said, "Is that so? I'm going to leave this house." He said, "That is your problem." Everybody has their problem, my brother. Everybody has their problem. What about that? Is there any witch that's in this house lighting candle against me? That's their problem. It doesn't concern me. I am not going to pray because of it. I told you once, years ago, this is up to 10 years, at least 8 years, somebody said, told my wife, a pastor, said, "I see death around your husband." Yeah. I thank God for my wife. She didn't tell me for a few days. After some time, she said, let it not be like I did not tell you. This is what this man said. I said, thank you. Ask her, we never join hands to pray about it. We didn't check whether it's true, whether it's false, whether he's telling the truth, whether he prayed, whether he didn't. Never. It was not discussed again until I mentioned it when I was preaching here some months ago. Precious. I won't pray about that too. But that's what will cause punishment. That's when God will not go after me. Say, Banky, I have come. Maybe you've been seeing death around me, around yourself. Let me now kill you now. I didn't lose sleep over it. I didn't think, God, could it be true? I'm like, God, when did you start sending that man to me? I'm not saying, I'm not being proud, but I know, what is the message? He didn't give me any message. He said, death around me. He said, go, if I had myself, go and tell him that death has to be around. Because he can't come near. Do you get my point? That's the first thing. And secondly, yesterday, my wife said, see. And I saw a big cockroach on the wall. And I killed it. That is death around me. The cockroach died. You didn't tell me the kind of death you saw. Like, I keep on saying, who will not die? The man that saw death around me, you know what? He's going to die one day. If Jesus does not come back, all of us are doing this dying thing. Until he comes back, everybody is doing this dying thing. Don't come and scare me about it. I keep on saying to believers, when you hear such things, just ask yourself, whose wife did I take? Or am I planning to take? Am I doing the work that the Lord sent me to do? Or God has decided that I'm a useless servant? One man was doing program. Another pastor looked and said, what this man is doing is wickedness. And I believe, let me tell you something about the Lord. I know him. He wants. He will let you know what you are doing is not good. When people don't walk in love, God is very angry. If you don't love other people, if you walk in wickedness, you deliberately, you have information that can help your friend, your brother go forward, you withhold it. God is angry. You know, your neighbor could be helped by this information. You don't give it to him. The Lord is angry with you. I hope you're getting my point. Yes. You look out for all those things. Make sure you don't do them in your life. Make sure every time in your life, you are doing the will of God. Please. That's all you can do. Now, please, I'm not talking about dying or not dying now. What I mean, I'm not talking how to stop death now. Okay? If in the midst of this, you are going to die, you want to know the truth? You will die. And let me tell you something, Christians, don't be afraid of death. I know what I'm saying. I'm not saying God can't stop death, but I want to take away this one that we're running up and down because of the fear of death. Why don't you pray more like this? Dear Father, you gave me life for a reason. Let not one jot, one tittle, like they say, of the reason why I'm alive go unfulfilled. But let me look back before you take me away and say, I've finished my course. I've run my race and have kept the faith. Pray that prayer. Tell God, if you want to remain alive, tell him why. I have a number of reasons, personally, which I use, which I recommend you use. Dear Lord, I have responsibilities. I'm a husband to my wife. I'm a father to my children. I'm a son to my mother and my father-in-law. Did you get my point? These are people that being alive, me, my being alive, is important to them. There's a man I saw, I read the book, had a vision. He was in hospital, had a serious lung problem. Serious lung disorder. So, he needed to have surgery. And because of his lung problem, they couldn't anesthetize him. So, they were very reluctant. But then, the problem he had was not so serious to be abandoned. There was no other way they could treat it. I can't remember what. So, they admitted him, said they would have to risk it and take him to surgery. They knew the complications that may arise. So, he was in his ward room one day. Then, suddenly, somebody appeared. You didn't see the person, but you just saw light. And the person said, come. So he followed the person, and it was a spiritual following. He didn't get up physically. He was there, sitting down, but he left. And the fellow took him on a tour of the hospital where he was working, where he was admitted. He said, tomorrow morning, by 9 o'clock, the porter will come. He will put you on the trolley. He will wheel you down this way. And they walked down way. Then this is the theater where you are going to be operated on. As soon as so time during the operation, complications will arise and you will die. Said, do you understand? And he said, yes. So he went back to the room. And then suddenly he woke up. So he took a piece of paper, and started writing instructions for his wife. So he was writing. They had a little boy. And they had another child, which they just adopted. So that little child was very small. So he was thinking of, was telling the wife what to do about this, about that. They broke down into tears as I cried. So the person came back again, appeared again as light. And he said, why are you crying? And he said that, no, nothing, that he's not afraid to die. Just that, just thought that of everything his wife will have to go through when he's not here. So the fellow says, so what are you saying? So I really like to leave to help her out. And the guy said, fine, then you won't die. And he left. The next day, 9 o'clock, the porter came in, put him on the trolley, wheeled him down that same corridor, through the same doors they told him earlier. At that same time they told him complications will arise, it started. And the doctors battled and battled. Do this, do that. Finally, he stabilized. They finished their surgery. They put him back in the recovery room and he woke up from anesthesia and he was fine. I read that book around 1990. I've not forgotten the story till today. We're in 2025. So these are the things you tell the Lord. And I can show you in the scriptures like that. Paul explained it. He went to the Philippians. He said to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, to depart and be with the Lord is far better. He said, nevertheless, when I think of how much my presence will do for the furtherance of your faith, it is better I stay. He said, therefore, I have concluded because of the need I can see that you will pray for me, I will be delivered, and I will continue this ministry because of the faith of the saints. Paul didn't have anything on this earth to wait to stay behind for anyway. Now you don't be house or village, that you only go there 5 days a year. You want to be at least go there 50 times before you die. That's why you don't want to die. Do you get my point? Like my friend told me that he bought a new phone. He said, when I saw that phone, I realized that why that accident did not kill me. He said, that phone is so good that God said, Chidi. His name is Chidi. He said, Chidi, why will you die without using this phone? He's a comedian. It's just very funny. But let's leave that behind. People love you. Your presence, which is why, again, some people, they can't say that. Everybody hates them. They are wicked too. Even their mother just praying for them because my child, I just have to pray. Otherwise, he's too wicked. Without him, this family is better. Anytime we fight here is the cause of the fight. Those of you who are somebody's in-law, let me just warn you now. You can go around be telling everybody your mother-in-law is wicked, your father-in-law is wicked. Just know that their wickedness did not manifest until you marry their son. Like somebody said, who said it now? Where did I hear it? Yes, it was Pastor Kemote said that Truth Assembly last week. Pastor Cosmo, Pastor Cosmo that was preaching when he said this? Say, so you enter this room, it's smelling. You enter the next room, it's smelling. Enter the third room, it's smelling. He said, now check your cloth. Maybe now you this smell. He said, check your cloth. It could be you. Let me just drop that for somebody. You that everybody is wicked. Start checking. It might just, I'm not saying it's not them. But it might just be. Once you check and find out they were not like this until their son married. Well, it could be that they are being possessive. It could be that you are a Jezebel you did not know. Just check it. That's a small aside for some people who thrive in wickedness. I will never let anybody trample on my right. There's no good person whose right is not being trampled on. Did you hear what I said? There's no good person in this world who regularly, they don't insult, they don't trample on his right, they don't deny him what is his own portion. My husband is too quiet. They are just riding over him. That was why they had peace until you came. They are not the ones speaking up. Nobody spoke up. They were happy. Now you are speaking up now. I'm just, you know, I'm giving you reasons to stay alive. You can't be telling God to keep you alive to be causing trouble for people. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's just drop that. Because sometimes Christians don't realize that Christianity does not mean we're obnoxious. Christianity does not mean that we are just an irritant to other people. An average Christian is a good person. He shares. Christmas time, don't say, they know we don't have, we have not yet settled. Don't be stupid, my friend. You have not yet settled. See the food you are using. Yesterday, I went out with one of my senior bosses. Let me not tell you about this man. He brought out a phone. I said, sir, what is that? He said, Banky, leave me. I said, no, I can't leave you. That's not a phone. You're embarrassing us. How can a man like you? He said, but I use it to make calls. I said, it's not true. Whatever they're telling you on that phone is not correct. Touch light phone. This man, if I describe his caliber for you, well, he brought out your phone. He was doing ping, ping, ping. So I told him, okay, don't call me with this thing. If you want to call me, me and him were just playing. Where I'm going is, I want you to say you are not settled. Big men are using phones like that. Take your money that you wanted to use to buy a big phone. Share it next Christmas. Don't go to your in-laws' place empty-handed. That's why they don't like you. It's not because they are in COVID, no. I've been telling you. Your mother-in-law is not more witchy than other people's mother-in-law. Or you come empty-handed. You know this Tinubu economy, Mama, this Tinubu economy, things not just balance. She's looking at you like this. Die by fire. That's what she's thinking inside her heart. The Lord is good. You know, we just like to drop small, small things. Seriously. For people. Because some of them will go say, they don't like me in that village because I'm the only Christian. No, they don't like you in that village because you are the only stingy man. Are we clear? So let's try it, all right? Next time you go, buy something for everybody. Let's see whether they won't like you or they will follow you to church. And some of you, don't go and start fellowship in that village now. Not yet. You are going to be a bad representation of who Jesus is. Is that okay? I'm talking to somebody and you know yourself. He said, did somebody call me? The Holy Spirit called me and said, tell him. Is that okay? Oh, wait a second, Reverend, you've been helping me today. You've been very helpful today. This guy, your husband has been helpful tremendously. Kai, he's on fire. That's your husband. Yeah. I still remember the day he came to marry you. I can't forget that day. No, I've not forgotten that day. He's the happiest. That the guy was so happy. See, Chibis is looking at him like, what is his problem? Just to marry, right? You were that happy. You're just pretending. You know, some people, they are like, no. If you smile, you should be feeling like, if you're happy, show it. One day I saw my wife, I smiled. She said, that smile is $1 million. You know, don't enter the house and screen your. Let me preach my message. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What is the point I'm making all of these things? Spirituality. It means to interpret life with the word of God. Spirituality does not mean to have visions. Spirituality does not mean to be, you know, esoteric in everything. Spirituality doesn't mean to appear aloof when things are happening. No. True spirituality means that no matter what it is, even when people narrate visions, you interpret it with the word of God that has been revealed in the Holy Scriptures. So he says in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith we do what? We understand. We have no understanding without faith. Is that okay? All right, let's now connect this with where we were last time. This was not supposed to be a long series, but it's entering the third one now. Because I need to round this one off quickly. Yeah, in the next few minutes. The Lord is good. Now, we read. Remember what we read just now when we started? We read Genesis 2 and read all the way to 3, right?
Yes.
That's what we discussed last time. I just want to do a small recapitulation of what we said last time and where we ended. Then we'll continue it again next time. I thought we'll pick it up from there, but it didn't work out. There are basically, from that scripture, two realms in this life. And that's what I was trying to get into when I got stuck on that spirituality matter. There are two realms in this life. There's life in the garden. There's life outside the garden. Do you remember that? What is the garden? In simple terms, it means the place where the rules of God apply. The place where God is the Lord, is the lawgiver. It is what he says that is final. Now, I said something, in fact, that's why I got into that spirituality thing. I started explaining something that this life is more than what you see physically. Actually, the spiritual controls the physical. The life we are now experiencing, the flesh and this body, is spoken into existence. A lot of things we experience now, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did not experience them. It will surprise you that Abraham never had the opportunity to have a medical checkup. Neither did Isaac or Jacob, or any of their 12 sons. And none of them lived a short life. Not one. That this modern generation, we try to explain that it's because they were outdoors people. How many Fulani men are you seeing living forever? Do you get my point? It says because they were eating grain and herbs, and then my friend, go and read your Bible well. Those guys, they eat fatted calf. When visitors came, they served them milk. Why did they say fatted calf? There's malu that used to drag plow. Those ones not get fat. Nasusu sinew. Muscle, they can pull plow. But you get one for house that they just give it food. Just dig it food. They have some of them like that. That's the one they ate. So nobody should lie to you that they were not eating meat. They were eating meat. The priests were cannibals. Yes. If you know what I mean. They will burn the fat here, then eat the chop. And God said, I gave it to them. That's how many of these people say, I don't believe them. Life is created. The moment man exited that garden, a new set of events began to be created. I want you to understand that. Now, what is the garden? Again, we say it's the place where the laws of God hold supreme. That's the garden. What is outside? It's simple. Why did they have to go out? Because they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which we said last time meant what? Independence. We are now like God. We are the final authority in the things happening in our lives. So God said, if that's the case, bless yourself, go outside. And I'm saying that as at now, most of life is built around that. When people plan businesses, plan careers, plan their future, most of it is what? The result of having eaten of that tree. They are God, so their destiny is planned by them. So what they need to do, what they have to do therefore, which is compulsory, they have to do it, is to sweat. Because the curse for outside the garden is, from the sweat of your brow, you will do what? You will eat bread, yes. That's why I keep on saying things like, worry is good, fear is good, for people who don't know the Lord. Because you must. Otherwise, you will not eat. Why? The curse, or let me use the word, the decree has been issued. The sweat of your brow, you will eat. So you have to sweat. If you refuse to sweat, you will not eat. But the life of the garden is still available. And Jesus talked about it. He started using words like your heavenly father. Anytime you see words like your heavenly father, it's telling you this is the introduction to a life in the garden. The God that feeds the birds of the air, they did not sin against him, really. Are you getting my point? The beasts of the field, he provides their food for them. The animals that usually have problems are the ones that have been domesticated. Do you get my point? Now, where I'm going with all this talk is that, you see, the human being is one that now has a problem. So when Jesus introduces thoughts like your heavenly Father knows, what he's saying to us, don't forget this, come, move back into the garden of the Lord and live there. This time around is a mystical garden. That is like, you won't physically go somewhere, but by faith, you will connect with the garden life. And Jesus told us what to do. So he says things like, you must pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven. Two words there, very important. Father and our. He didn't say, pray like this, my Father. It's critical we understand that he said our Father. I'll talk about that if I remember to get back there. But I keep on saying it. You know, like I said last time, one of the blessings of the garden is community. Do you follow my point? Yes. And let me just drop this for you before I go. Remember, God has not blessed you for yourself alone. Make it a habit to solve somebody else's problem. He didn't say my Father. He said what? Our Father. You know what that means? Sometimes when God wants to give A money, he puts in the pocket of B. It's our Father. Sometimes he wants to... That's it. There's a doctrine I'm still trying to look at from Scripture. That said, there's nothing needed in the body of Christ by anybody that's not already there. There's nothing. A prayer I'm praying is, God, please help me to locate appropriately what I'm supposed to do in solving problems for somebody else. I say this and you surprise some people. To get to a point, we will actually dash people with children. Let me leave that one there. Go and cook it and digest it. I know what I'm saying. But let's not teach on that now. Let's just get to the point I'm going to make so I can close. So when the Lord Jesus says, our Father, what is he doing? He's introducing us back into what? The garden life. And he keeps on saying, your heavenly Father. He didn't, you know what he told the Pharisees? You have your father, the devil. So it's not everybody the heavenly Father applies to. He told the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. So, you can have the devil as a father. It's very possible. Those who have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of God, who are eating, that's a better word. Those who are eating regularly of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they are calling Satan their father. Yes. But there's a life of the garden which says, our Father. One major way you live, like I talked last time, and I began it. Okay, how do you stop, because there's a lot of rat race outside. Like I told you, you have to go and check your health. You have to go and check this. You have to invest for your future. You have the life outside the garden. Go and check it. The Bible described it as worry. See, what people call wisdom outside the garden, inside the garden, the Father calls it worry. Plan for tomorrow. God says worry. He said, tomorrow is mine to plan. God divided inside the garden, gave everybody a job. And he said, do only that job. What about tomorrow? Don't worry about it. It's mine. He said, sufficient unto the day is evil there. The challenges I've given you are the challenges of today. So I give you a walk today. Go and do it. Get up in the morning. When are you supposed to get to the office? 8 o'clock. Be there by 8. Work hard. Say, I don't know the retirement plan they have for me in this office. God said, when is retirement supposed to come? In the next 15 years. If you think about it again, I will get angry with you. See, in the 14th year, as an example, you understand? God can extract you from that place. Say, now, come into the place I prepared for you. You will get there and be telling your former boss, sir, when you retire, sir, there's space here. We can't. You employ your former boss. You know, Reverend Yinka and I yesterday were talking outside here. Was he here or Asoda? Yeah. He said, look, that he told his friend that all this running up and that you are doing, it's not how people prosper. And there's a saying like, those of you speak Yoruba, Yoruba will tell you kirakita o dola. That is, literally, hustle does not turn to anything. So shouldn't you hustle? Hustle should be a matter of responsibility. It's not that I want to be wealthy. There are people you are looking at and say, man, this guy has made money. What does he do? They tell you. You go and do it. You will make problems. You know what you did not know? The guy did not make money from what you are thinking. What God used to bless him is not something you know him for. It is something he doesn't. One man, look, he told me one day. He said, do you know this? He was talking about how God has blessed him. He said he belongs to a group of people wanted to do some investments in Nigeria. And they asked him. They asked people for who is the honest Nigerian they can use. They are foreigners, mostly from Europe. And they mentioned his name. So they begged him to join the board and not contribute 5 kobo. So they placed him on the board of a multinational. That entitled him to, I think, 5% of their profits. He said, he told me, he said, man of God, I don't do anything. He said, they hold meetings like twice a year. And the only thing I have to do is know that they are coming. Arrange accommodation and security and logistics. He said, the only thing I do for that company is what I've just told you. I host the meeting. I make sure all the directors, everybody is comfortable. I arrange their security. I arrange their logistics. He said, that's the only thing I do. He said, at the end of the year, we share profit. He said, man of God, let me confess to you. The money is good. If after hustling everything for the whole year, they only declare as profit is $50 million. They give him $2.5 million for being alive and well. Yeah, he told me, were you the one he was telling me? So, okay. Then maybe it's Nduka. It's the same man I told you said to me that I finished school in primary 3. I never went to school beyond the 3rd year in primary school. That's what they call garden experience. When Jesus said to us, our Father, that's what he meant. That outside, you go and till. You take care of it. From your sweat, you eat. You plan your future because nobody is planning it for you. But once you can say, our Father, if that word can come, or that phrase can come out of your mouth, if you can say, our Father, then you need to learn something. So, and that's what I want to teach. Like I said last time, you start with what? Worship. You must worship. You must worship. You must worship. You must hope in mercy. You must worship. You must hope in mercy. What does mercy mean? It's very important I say this. What does mercy mean? Just understand that whatever you are getting or you are going to get is not what you deserved. Just know that whatever you are getting or you are going to get is not what you deserve. And expect it. What did I say? Expect. How it will manifest, you may not know. But expect it. So that when you see your brother that has a master's degree, has a PhD degree, they say, ha, this guy is lucky. There's nothing like luck. You don't even have a bachelor's. You manage to finish OND. Where he can get to, you can get to there. Have that thought. Have that thought in your mind. Have that thought in your mind. Don't say, he's lucky. You know his father managed to educate him to PhD level. That's the issue. I thank God for people like him, Shah. Thank God for them. You have the same father. Our Father. Whatever the father can do for him, he can do for you. That's it. And let me tell you something. You know, when President Buhari was president, if you're amongst those who say that he doesn't have secondary school certificate, he doesn't qualify to be president, you're a sinner. What did I say? You're a sinner. You have disobeyed the word of God. The scripture said he put in charge of the kingdoms of men the lowliest of them. Either you believe the scriptures or you don't. You know why it's important you don't sit talk nonsense? Because a time will come when God wants to lift you up to somewhere where you also do not deserve. If you are stuck your ground, you know, stuck to your opinion, that he doesn't deserve it, God will say, I wanted to bless you, but you say, you don't say you don't deserve it, man. So go and join PDP. Because it was APC I blessed last time. So, you know, you see what they're doing? Can you see what they're doing to yourself? When you start altering there, these people, they're just like this. You know, the government is helping them. Because if you continue like that, you know you don't have government help. You know, my wife said something yesterday, and I said, Holy Spirit just said, correct her. She said, at such times, I miss my mother. I knew what she was saying. And I said, if it can be a father to the fatherless, it's a mother to the motherless. She said,
yes.
I receive it. I said, say I receive it. She said, I receive it. I said, God will do for you what the greater thing that your mother will have done. She wants to do something. She knows the kind of person her mother was. You know, some people that can shake. My mother-in-law was like that. Could shake the whole. What are you saying? Shake everywhere. She was just talking about it. She said, Kai, this is the kind of time I miss my mom. And the Holy Spirit said, put her in order. And I said, if it's a father to the fatherless, it can be a mother to the motherless. I said, tell her. I said, receive it. She said, I receive it. He said, now watch what God is going to do for you. If you can say, our father, or more, you have entered into something. Please put up your two hands and say, our father. You need to say it. Say it at least 7 times. Say, our father. Say it again. Our father. Keep on saying that. Say it again. Our father. One more time. For the last time. Our father. Let's finish it. Our father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you for today. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that has come. Thank you for how you have spoken your word to me. Give him thanks for it. All right, the Lord is good. All right, Father, we give you praise for today. Thank you for you are our Father. Thank you, Lord, for you are our Father. We receive the life of a garden. We walk in it every day. A life in which you have made provision for our present. And you have properly planned our future. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now let's share the grace in fellowship, kingdom world style. One, two, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Bless people beside you, two people. The season of the demonstration. So let us start again because of some people that will choose their wife and their husband in the midst of this Igwe Madu. All right? It is not good. Let us please bless two people beside you and I give you the instruction. The one of them cannot be your wife and the other person cannot be your husband. Do you get my point? Now bless two people beside you. One, two, let's go. The season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Another person. Please, one for yourself. This is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Cheer up, brethren. God bless you.